This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Good evening, TERFs and TERFettes, and welcome to episode of Let Women Peak. Hey! So we are gathered here today in the confines of a lunatic asylum of the park. We've got our gossip with us. We have gathered today. Why did we gather today, girlies?
To drink.
To get together.
To drink, yeah.
Chat.
Get together.
Make plans.
Make plans. It's all plotting.
Wicked,
yeah. We're basically, what's it called? A haven?
A haven.
A haven of turban. And a coven. A coven?
A coven.
A coven of a hoven of the oven loving. And I'm hot like an oven and I need some loving.
Yeah.
Okay. And so for this episode, we have interviewed the wonderful Lady Logic. Now, she got herself into a right old pickle.
Oh, as everyone does.
As everyone does. It came to the world of...
The
world of something.
Everything.
It was a world and she was in it. And my God, she got herself in some hot water.
This shit hit the fan.
So she joined us this week to tell us about it.
She did.
And what a tale it was.
It was very exciting.
So I hope you enjoy this. To forgive our drunkenness. I've had some buttery Chardonnay. What have you been drinking?
Oh, the G and T.
The G and the tea.
And the tea.
Crazy bitch. Okay, so we will see you at the end for a little extra portion of drunken waffle.
Let women be.
Hello. Welcome to episode of Let Women Peak. My name is Glenda Critical.
And my name's Claire.
And we are here today with Lady Logic.
Hello.
And Lady Logic is going to tell us her peaking story. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get into some tangents along the way. I love a tangent.
Definitely.
So why don't you start off by telling us how you became a... I've sort of inserted a supplementary question into this, haven't I?
Oh, how do you feel about TERF?
Yeah, do you like the word TERF?
Yeah.
Do you identify as a TERF?
I do identify as a TERF.
Oh my God, she said it. She said the words.
I identify as one, so I am one.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. Yes.
Because we've had a lot of discussion around some people just reject it, don't like it. I begrudgingly like it.
I'm quite fond of it.
But we love TERF right now.
So you know where you are with it, don't you?
Yeah. You know where you are.
You know, if someone... People know I'm a TERF, and if I know someone's a TERF, yeah.
We all know
that's what it means. Yeah. You know what it means, don't you? Yeah. There's no, like, nuance. Do they think this or do they think that? It's just, you know where you are with someone.
Totally. You know where you are. Know where you stand.
I would really like, I don't know who said it, but the MRF idea.
Oh.
I think it was Lindsay in one of our other podcasts.
A male.
A MRF is a much more appropriate. I wish we could kind of perhaps shift it.
Well, I've got PERF in my Twitter bio because a penis...
Yeah.
Penis exclusionary.
Yeah.
But I'm not a radical feminist.
I
don't want to exclude trans people. They've got every right, but just not the ones with willies in my spaces. Anyway, so that's that one done. So we're okay to call you a TERF. One of our guests said she didn't like being a TERF, and then I was like really conscious not to use the term, but okay.
Just to be a little
I don't want to offend
cautious.
Anyone. So tell us how you became a TERF.
How did I become a TERF? So, I think think I was always a TERF.
You were born a TERF.
Oh. I think I am a TERF in a TERF body.
You were a TAB. You were
assigned to TERF. I just didn't realise I was. Yeah. So
yeah,
it's not like I ever believed any of this stuff.
So
my peaking moment wasn't, oh my God, I've been a massive trans rights activist and now I've seen
you were
life.
Never TWOW.
No, it was more just the peaking moment was when I realised that it was a massive issue and when I started properly like following it as a subject.
And when was that?
So I'd probably say about 2019... I first started reading this, but then I was still sort of dismissed it a bit as to like that bollocks, you know?
Yeah.
Like I remember reading about the Maya Tribunal cases and just thinking like, what a load of shit.
Yeah.
And then just moving on to the next story. Like I didn't like spend that much time on it.
Did you just sort of feel like, oh, it's just one of these, like, just some of the news story,
I
like,
just remember
nothing?
It's just one of those where you have a little, like, fucking hell, world's gone mad, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And then a bit of a, like, God, poor woman, like, a load of crank, she must work. But I kind of dismissed it as, like, that workplace was, like, a load of cranks, as opposed to, like, oh, God, this is, like, literally happening to women.
And the news is full of stories where you just go, like,
you just go, Jesus.
What the fuck? Yeah. Next one. Yeah. What the fuck? Exactly. Next one.
So, that was my thoughts. But I remember reading them, but and thinking about it, and I didn't, like, follow it. And then I reckon it was in 2020 then that I got, like, properly into it. So I had my son, was born in March 2020. So I spent a lot of time...
Oh, my God, yeah.
...on the internet.
Was it Mum's Net?
No, so my thing that, like, properly, like, the moment, I used to follow this Facebook page called Women Against Hate.
Oh, I used to follow Women for Hate. Like, the opposite.
The category, yeah. Love it. Well, I did, It was just, like, so bland, generic, sort of feminist.
Bad things are bad.
It was just, like, the odd sort of feminist...
Hello.
Article or meme or something. It was just like, you know, bland.
Yeah.
It was like, it was not controversial or like anything in any way.
Yeah.
And then, but the woman, the main woman ran it, was a massive TERF.
Oh,
and then
God.
One day she just went, right, like, that's it. I can't keep quiet on this anymore. And just went on this like TERF, like terrain.
Wow.
Legend. And I just remember reading it and I was like, like, I agreed with everything she was saying.
Okay.
I didn't follow all of the stuff because I, but like, I agreed with the premise of everything she was saying. And like, the comments underneath was just like on fire.
Like, giving her loads of shit.
Yeah. So, loads of people going, like, good on you for saying it.
Yeah.
And then, like, loads of people who were like, I'm just coming out with this stuff that now is just like, oh, yeah, boring.
That again. Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, you can't say that about her.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're a fascist, nasty, far right. Bigot, you're evil, I can't believe you'd say this, you know, like, literally, there are people killing themselves right now because of what you've just written, and this one. I was like, the fuck?
Like, what?
What
are you talking about?
So, yeah, then I was like, then I just, because I was breastfeeding, and you just, basically, that is just sitting there on your phone.
For
hours, so I just... Then loads of the stuff that was referenced in this, I started, like, looking it up, and then I was like, oh, this is it.
Oh, there you went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Where is she? Who is this woman?
I don't know who she is now, because obviously, the page got banned for...
Did it? Was it on Facebook, or...?
Transphobia.
Okay.
She got reported, and shut down.
Oh, God.
What was the sort of
balance of, sort of, people that were supporting her and people that
50-50,
were... 50-50, I was going to say, yeah, I was wondering,
yeah. It was like...
I imagine many TERFs were created that day. If you know who this woman is, audience, let's find her.
Yes. Women, it was definitely called Women Against Hate.
Okay.
It was just really quite bland.
Wow.
She must have been sitting on that.
She must have been like sitting...
I've got to wait, just say this.
So before I knew it, then I was like... Within 24 hours, I was like in deep watching Magdalene Burns videos on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
And then then I started like reading loads of it on Twitter, but like was really careful to like not like or anything.
Yeah.
But then next thing I'm like got an anonymous Twitter account
and all bets were off.
Reading, and then it just, it's like one of those that just the more you read, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It starts off and it was like woman raped on a female only NHS ward, and they're telling her it can possibly have happened. Imagining it,
which that was a true story that just really happened. Yeah. But you know, when I first got my turfy Twitter account, because I was around a lot of people who were very TWOW.
Yeah.
I did this thing, like I would follow a turfy account, and then to counterbalance it and educate myself, I would follow a TWOW account or a TRA account. And
then you realise you just have porn in your feed.
No, literally. But it was like the calibre of argument, like at that time we had, say, like Jane Claire Jones, Julia Long, Rosa Friedman, like intellectual heavyweights.
Yeah.
And then on their side, like literally the best they could send forward was like Colin Montgomery.
Oh my God.
And fucking, I don't know, Zinnia. Do you remember Zinnia? Oh, I don't think Fred was around then. Do you remember this Zinnia person who would, American fella, and he would brag about like making bathtub hormones and giving them to little kids. And these were literally nice. Like the trans heavyweights intellectually.
That was their self-appointed spokes.
Yeah. That was the best they could send. And we were like, I was watching, you know, like Kathleen Stock or whatever, have these really long arguments. And people would say to the TERFs, like, why are you wasting your time arguing with these people? And I think it was Kathleen Stock that said, I'm not arguing to change their mind, I'm arguing for the audience.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought, oh my God, this is the smarter side. Yeah. It's the righter side. It's the smarter fucking side.
Yeah.
And they just didn't have anything to counter it. Like, I was trying to educate myself and find out what I was missing.
I remember desperately in the group once going, like, where's the science? Can someone show me the science? And everyone was going, there is no science. I was going, well, there must be some science.
Yeah.
Can
I just look at children?
It? Will somebody send me some links for the science? There is no science.
It's the only kind of social justice, whatever they want to call it, it's the only movement that, like, the more you know about it, the more you're like,
this is weird. Yeah. No, literally.
Like, you start, as soon as you start, like, I remember, like, reading all about, like, autogynephilia, and I was like, I actually feel sick.
Yeah,
no, literally.
And then the big thing was, like, kids. Like, I just had this baby who's, like, this perfect baby.
Yeah.
And, like, the thought of someone telling him that his, like, body was wrong and it needed fixing and it needed changing. And, like, I think then in 2021 I read Irreversible Damage.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is just like the worst, literally the worst thing I've ever read. And I just think that everyone should read that. It should be in schools. Yeah. It should be like just anyone who's like, oh, is it really a big deal? It's like, go and read that book.
I think I was just thinking, like, the thing as well, when you've had a baby, and I think we're all familiar with that here, but it's kind of like you have feelings and are so heightened around a sort of sense of protectiveness. It's like, I remember, like, not necessarily about that, but when my little one was born, like, she's not little anymore, but just there was particular news stories going on that were just so disturbing, and they disturbed me extra. Because you're in this kind of, you're in this thing where you're
yeah, like, if I see a news thing about any, like, child that's, like, dead or something,
I just feel sick.
And I used to be a real true crime person where, like, I'd want all the details and I'd want to read all the court. But now I'm just like, spin on. I'll even, like, if there's a really high profile child thingy, I'll mute the word on Twitter because it's just too. Not to say that people that don't have kids can't feel sad.
No, there's a difference. I think that's where definitely, like, that's the thing that was really, like, I think to a certain extent, I am like, well, I always was, adults can do what they want. And still now I'm at a point where I'm like, I don't think that anyone can really consent to this. Like, I don't think that doctors should be doing this to anyone.
Okay.
No.
You can't to be in the position where you want to do that. Your mental health can't be.
You have to be insane to want your genitals amputated.
Yeah. It's but they're doing the stuff and like all of the like the like mums that are like, it's just the trans housing thing, like, you know, like,
so what do we think about like that? That really brought me up short when reading about, like, I don't know if you know, Gypsy Rose Blanchard and all these famous cases of high profile Munchausen's by proxy. Yeah. They've changed the name now, haven't they? I can't remember what it's called now, but it's all women.
Yeah.
And you see this as well, like the absent father in these trans stories. Like, yeah, now and again there will be a dad, but by and large it is mostly women who are pushing this forward.
It is,
but the thought for me, like, to have your child come to you and cry in and saying, there's something wrong with my body.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, yeah, there is. Yeah, but we're going to get it fixed for you. That's so fucking insane to me.
I suppose I kind of like, you know, like, I think, yeah, you've definitely got some of those parents that are like, for whatever mad reason, because you must have had to really believe.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of it is like that they're born status. In the wrong body.
There was a new one yesterday, wasn't there?
Charlie's Theron.
Tamsin Althwaite has come out and said that her daughter's now
I think there's probably a lot of... I suppose what I'm saying is I think there's a lot of different things going on with different parents as to why they are going at, you know, supporting it. And then you've got those parents that probably aren't supporting it, but you've got your kid crying and saying, I've been told I'll kill myself if I don't do this.
Which is what irreversible damage was like. Yeah. Your parents didn't want them to. Like, this was like teenage girls as opposed to like telling your 5-year-old that they're not.
Yes. This is when the kids are coming to you as teenagers. Yeah. I do think it must be excruciating.
It was horrific, yeah.
And how you deal with it. And you know, and I've got like another friend that I spoke to. Her and her daughter started. She found out she was breastfeeding.
Oh God!
And was just furious and cut the breastbinder up. And you can imagine in that moment. And I think she probably again, like, this is quite some time ago, so she wasn't. I'm not sure how kind of conscious of the whole picture she was there, but you'd just be like, your kid is self-harming, basically.
Yeah.
And you're going to be horrified, but no matter what she did, her daughter still transitioned and is now on testosterone.
Fucking hell, do you remember when Lush...
fully changed.
Yeah. Do you remember when Lush Cosmetics were like... sending binders to kids or something, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did you see the Dr. Ronks thing?
Oh my God.
Did you see the video?
Yeah.
I don't know what the programme was. It must have been a children's programme.
It was like a BBC documentary, but I don't think it was...
She like the I'm non-binary trans person?
Yeah, on Dr. Twinnies. Yeah. Oh, well, we call it Dr. Twinnies.
I know who you mean, Dr.
Operation Ouch.
Operation Ouch.
And she was like the third...
So wheel.
The third wheel. My kid was obsessed with that program. I fucking love that show. They brought her on in the later seasons. She's like a black woman with short dreads and round glasses. Yeah. So then after a couple of seasons, it's like her voice got lower and the boobies were gone. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? And they stopped saying she, and it was Dr. Ronks this. But now she's launched this scheme in London where, get on this, she wants to go into schools and hand out badges saying, you're safe with me.
For children.
So that trans people who are worried about using the toilets, you can accompany them and tell them, oh, you're right, you're safe with me.
So just random blokes wear a badge saying safe with me.
If you were
kids...
No, the kids wear the badges.
Yeah.
The badges to say safe with me, to indicate to a trans woman.
So any man can approach a kid
that's got that badge.
And ask them to take them to the toilet.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, what could possibly go?
If you were...
Nothing at all.
Have we just completely forgotten about safe?
I don't know her. But can you imagine, like, if you were a Jimmy Savile or you're just like... You're a paedophile. You can imagine.
Yeah.
This is your dream.
Yeah.
Like,
isn't it?
Design your dream situation.
Yeah, or they'll have badges.
I don't think Dr. Ronks
it's just
wants
the same
kids
as
to be
amused. Come and sit on my knee, little girl.
Yeah,
I think it's...
puppies. My puppies.
It really is this sort of extreme blindness, isn't it? It must be the idea that, again, coming back to this thing we've been talking about today a bit, the sort of sacredness of trans people. They can't really hurt genuinely. All of them are such special, kind, lovely people.
And if they do hurt someone, almost they weren't really trans.
It's just a
man that dresses in woman's clothes.
Almost spiritual, almost like some kind of...
Well, did you see...
super special person.
And despite being addicted to sissy porn, they're not sexual.
No. And being a man wearing a nappy and a fucking pair of fishnets. But did you see, do you know Alan Cumming, who now talks like this, with this very constipated mouth? Yeah.
With that disgusting picture.
Well,
wasn't he in there, one of the dolls things?
Protect the doll. Oh, yeah, with these fucking meat and his hanging stockings out. Well, there was a video of him presenting a TV show in America, and he's literally saying, Spanish people, trans people are special. They're like superheroes. They've got this quality, and that society doesn't accept them. And he's going on and on, like literally saying that trans people are superheroes. Like, you've lost your fucking accent, and you've lost your mind.
But even if... You see, this is the thing that's the mind-blowing thing, isn't it? Because, like, going back to the safeguarding, it's like, even if people really did believe trans women are women, and they... But every group... But to believe that all of that group of people are all safe, lovely, kind, is so...
Stupid.
Delusionary almost.
Yeah, that argument over the drag queen story hour thing when it was, criminal background checks are transphobic.
No, they literally are.
And they shouldn't have to have criminal background checks.
Everyone else should.
But that is literally in the law. Like, I went for this training and they were telling me about how, like, the DBS, if you want a background check on a trans person, there's like a special number that you phone. And you can't ask the trans person, have you got a GRC?
Yeah.
It's like this weird crypt, like, hello, Ian Huntley never happened. Like, you can just fucking make it all up. Anyway, what were you saying?
Sorry,
we went on a massive tangent.
Just quickly go back to the breast binder thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like that, with that. That's that scene where Dr. Ronks is basically saying to this kid who has been wearing this breast binder, she's got 36...
For five years,
has been wearing a breast binder, and she can't breathe properly. Her ribs are popping out. She's obviously in pain. She's obviously now deformed anyway. Yeah. And Dr. Ronks is obviously horrified about this and says, "Well, here's a really good breast binder for you." And starts giving her other breast binder
options. She's an A&E doctor.
Yeah. Self-harm away.
Fucking hell. These drugs you've been taking a factor over, so let me just get you some better ones.
Or I'll get you something for the side effects of the drug.
Yeah. My God. So anyway.
Then I was there. I was then further peaking. The more I read, the more I was just horrified. Mm. But I still didn't really talk about it publicly. It just was like, I'll just read this to myself. And that was kind of just my plan. And then, and the things that you can just say now in 2021, you just couldn't say.
Like,
The climate out there has just changed massively, hasn't it?
Thank God.
So, yeah, then it all changed in early 2022 because my trade union that I'm in at work, the provisional agenda pack came out. And there was a motion from the, like, executive committee that was just awful. I don't think, like, it would stand up. I don't think it could stand up to, like, law now. But just reading it basically said that there was no place in the union for anyone with gender-critical views. And that there was no place for trans-exclusionary language. But it went on to define that as basically any way of talking about women that didn't include men that wanted to be women. So it's like, how can we talk about the effects on women?
Oh my God.
How can we talk about, like, pay or sexual harassment or just the impact on
pregnancy?
Maternity policy.
Talk about anything without. So it was just like, we couldn't. There was no way for, like, women as, like, a sex class in themselves, females, to, like, organise within the union. Mm. That was deemed, like, like trans exclusionary. And I just remember reading it and was like, I can't just ignore this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it. And thinking about what I was going to do about it was like,
terrifying.
But I just knew I couldn't not do anything because it was just fucking awful.
Okay.
So I thought, like, I can't go to London and go to this conference and speak against it because it's like, it was down in the category of like equality, diversion, and inclusion. It's like, you're just going to look a massive dick if you go and speak against one of those motions.
Yeah.
So decided that it was probably better if I put like an amendment in.
Okay.
That kept like the spirit of the general spirit of like, let's make sure trans people are included in the workplace.
Yeah.
Great. Yes. Fine. Yeah. Fine with that. It took away some of the like the inflammatory kind of stuff and the stuff that I didn't actually think was enforceable by law anyway. Mm. So, but to do that, I had to like get that through my branch. So I could set up a meeting for the branch and then, yeah, that was wild.
Really?
So it was like in a bad way. In-person meeting.
Well, this was still, it was like a phone call meeting. It went out to everyone.
Okay. So how did that shake out?
That was eventful. Which basically created this massive war of like, and like after that, there were just grievances flying around all over the place.
God, I was
like,
what?
But I got through an amendment.
Mm. So did you, I mean, like, what were the percentage of people that, were people emailing you privately and going, yeah, fucking go
on? So loads of people didn't dial into it, but then they could see from the Teams chat what it was about.
Okay.
So it all kicked off most...
In the chat or something?
Afterwards, it was like, what the hell is being talked about here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I was just bombarded with emails that were just completely inappropriate to send to someone at work. And I didn't do anything about it because...
Oh, my goodness. What were you getting?
Oh, like, just like how... You know, you could... It's just like...
Well, the usual thing.
Fascist,
yeah.
Far-right, bigot, Nazi, hate.
Were these people that you knew or
yeah,
sort of...
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, you could... like...
That's crazy.
How did you feel?
You
could write it yourself.
Mm.
I kind of read and like I said, I could have written those responses, but you know.
So they sort of did this sort of bounce off you a little bit, or did they hurt?
Do you understand why those individuals were responding like that? Knowing them personally?
I think it's people that just haven't sat and thought things through, and people that just don't. There's a lot of people out there who just believe what they're told to believe and they don't question it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what a good left-wing, liberal, progressive
person thinks.
Therefore, this is what I think.
Mm.
And I don't question any of it. I don't read anything to the contrary. I just parrot this out.
Mm. It's knee-jerk.
And therefore, when my only attempt to... argue against it is to call you names. So,
but I can't, like, I'm butting up against this a lot at the minute because the Sandy Peggy trial's going on, and we're watching these very intelligent, very experienced women with very high flying jobs. They're not stupid.
No, NHS consultants who don't know.
A&E consultants who have done like an A&E consultant, that's not nothing.
No.
And this, and you know, like HR. That's more debatable, but like you're standing up and you're like willingly committing professional harikiri. Is that the expression? Harikari?
I don't know, but that
karaoke.
Karaoke.
Yeah.
We'll make it a thing.
Yeah.
Karaoke.
And you're like willingly.
Yeah.
Publicly humiliating yourself.
Yeah.
And saying and denying that you know what sex you are.
It's really
to
weird,
defend this man, to defend this ideology. Like I know what you're saying about, like, I mean, Helen Joyce wrote that sentence in her book and it stayed with me and I think about it every day. That people that are not thinking their thoughts all the way through to the end, and even when they're presented with evidence, like turning their eyes away from it.
Yeah,
forcefully. They don't want to know.
I think what really... What I just found so ridiculous is, like, they'd acted like I wanted the amendment to say fuck trans people.
Kill all of them.
This is all I wanted the amendments to stay with. This union is a broad church,
yes.
And everyone should be tolerated and everyone should be welcomed. And
you all views, bastards.
And all of you, you know, people from all walks of life, all religions, yeah. All backgrounds, all different
need to
philosophical beliefs. Yeah. This is a non-political union. It's like objectively...
It's for workers. Partisan,
so like it's not, we shouldn't, it's labelled as politically impartial.
Right.
So like I just couldn't understand why it's politically impartial apart from women who know what a woman is. Like what?
Yeah.
You know, I got it through on the basis that, the speech that I would read out when I moved the amendment, that they kind of approved of it. So I had to like read from like a pre-agreed speech just to make sure, you know, I didn't go rogue.
So how did both parties wrote that, or
I wrote it and sent it to the complainants to be like, this is what I'm going to read, is it okay? And I got that.
Okay. What happened after that then?
So then all I had to do was go to London, and then the person from the executive committee whose motion would read out the original one, and then I got up to read out the amendment.
How big was the
couple of hundred people?
Wow.
Except then the day before, someone, and I genuinely do not know who, leaked the agenda to the Telegraph, and it was like all over like Twitter.
My
Forstater was tweeting about it, and my Forstater was like, looks like someone's managed to get an amendment through, if anyone knows who she is. I was reading Twitter like,
oh my god,
holy hell.
That must have been so
amazing. Because all I was thinking was like, okay, I've got to stand up in stage in front of like a couple of hundred people, but like this is quite small fry in the wider world, like, you know.
It's not like I'm standing up on
the public forums. I was like,
I mean, that was a gutsy thing to do anyway. It was amazing.
But the best thing about it was, like, so I read the amendment was, like, voted down. The original one went through. But I met some like amazing people because like there were quite a few people that stood up.
Can I just clarify that? So your amendment didn't get through, no. And the thing that you're not allowed to be a gender critical person in the union did go through.
Which obviously I've written to them after to say like, can you explain
how that's going to work?
Explain how this is in line with the law, because like it's not. So like, you just explain.
And how are we going to talk about being an actual female sex? So what's that? Has anything happened since then that they've altered that?
Or? No, but I would imagine that the Supreme Court judgment may need to be taken into account.
Yeah.
And there's been quite a few tribunals recently, and like fingers crossed on Sandy Peggy, because I think that it's kind of clear that we need a workplace where you're allowed to talk about these things. Also, there's like rumours, I don't know if this is true, that she's trying to take action against the nursing
union. Oh, the NMC.
Because they refuse to support her.
Fucking right.
So it's like, I think that if she does that and they say, you know, you weren't allowed under the Equality Act to decide to just randomly not support people. Mm. You can't just pick and choose which members you support depending on like the caseworkers' political beliefs. I think there's stuff.
There was something I don't even know what it was, but I saw a headline about somebody else who taking their union to court. I don't know who that was. Did you see something?
The union
about that?
Movement, I mean, it's always been known as male dominated, very misogynistic.
Yes.
But it's gone like balls deep in gender.
Yeah.
But
we've got a friend as well who was in the fire service.
Okay.
And we want her to come on the show.
Yes.
But she said the same thing, going to the union, and it was this very like old boys club, and they couldn't wait to give away the women's rights, really hard fought for, changing room, single-sex spaces. Like, as soon as a trans woman was like, I want to go in, no problem, we'll back them. But it's just like, the clash between old-fashioned 70s misogyny and progressive rainbow-coloured misogyny. Yes. Like, I find I have quite a hard time connecting those two because they just feel like a world away.
They do.
And the common denominator is misogyny. Willies. They've all got willies.
You know, it's kind of exactly the same outcome of the misogyny. It's just come through.
It's just new
It's just got to that conclusion in
a slightly different way. Les Dawson.
Like, yeah, that was just a bit passe. This is how we do.
This is the new misogyny. This is
how we do misogyny these days.
We don't do mother-in-law jokes. We've gone from Les Dawson to Owen Jones.
And we support abortion because that's obviously really handy for us as men.
And it helps. Yeah.
So we're dead supportive of women.
Yeah, we love women, especially, but only the ones with willies, the new ones.
Yeah.
So that we'll just talk about like how much we love women with our "This is what a feminist t-shirt."
Sex work is work.
Sex work is work. We love sex work.
Yes,
you know, porn is just so liberating.
Porn is so empowering.
Honestly, just the way that like these. Like newborn teens can fund their way through university.
Yeah, we're just helping them.
I just feel like I'm like helping women every step of the way.
Absolutely.
I'm such a good bloke.
Give me the old fashioned misogynist any day of the week, because the slimy, sort of sly cover up, I'm a justice warrior type.
I'm a feminist.
Yeah, when they call themselves a feminist.
I'm actually a better feminist than you are. Let me tell you why.
I'm going to tell you about feminism. Yes. I'm a man.
Yeah, I'm going to mansplain feminism to you.
I much prefer old school
sexism. It's much more easy to handle, isn't it? You can challenge it like that. Yeah. It's really easy to challenge.
Yeah. And like, I just bring back a bit of. Can like men hold doors open for you and stuff? Like get stuff down.
Just say
off the
some
top
really awful
me,
sexist joke, even.
I know.
And then you just go, yeah, that's a really shit, horrible
joke. But you can go,
joke.
Oi, don't say that. It was a sexist joke.
And they'll go,
joke.
I know, I'm a bit of a chauvinist.
But at least they knew what a woman was. Well, I mean, new wave misogynists know what a woman is too. They just pretend they don't. Just to get their badge.
But I think it was all, maybe, I don't think it was all, but I'm going to say it anyway, because it's just what I'm thinking at the minute. I'm just pulling this straight out of my bum. But there was this liberal feminism movement that gave birth to all of this. And this is sort of like when I started thinking about these things a bit more critically, when we had, do you remember the slut walks in maybe the late 2010s? And the whole premise was...
Yeah.
We hate that you objectify us, and we're going to express this dissent by dressing like sluts and calling ourselves sluts and wearing like stockings and suspenders and basques and lacy lingerie, and then we're going to march in the streets, and that is going to show you something.
Yeah, we're not quite sure what.
I'm not quite sure what's happening there, but you're going to learn. Oh, we're going to show you how cross we are. And that, I remember having a conversation with someone. I was like, I'm not really sure if that's
getting what we want to say across.
And there was a book called Ariel Levy. I don't know what happened to her. She might be a big T-Rob by now. But she wrote a book called Female Chauvinist Pigs that sort of summed this all up.
Okay.
And it was a bit like, women, can we... Yeah, are we sometimes like our worst enemy?
Can I be slightly controversial?
Oh, please do.
So like, I think the way that you sum that up is like, we're trying to say something, but we're not sure what it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's something we're trying to say there that actually is sort of important.
Okay.
Not the actual slot walk.
Yeah.
No, that's horrible. And just to be honest, using those words are just, they disgust
me. Walk.
Yeah.
Take a taxi.
To be honest, I think those words.
Slut Uber.
I think they should be like the S words. Personally, I find them that. Upsetting.
Yeah.
And I know people say it in a jokey way, like, it's not shame, this, that, And I'm like, they are words that have been absolutely used to the most cruel degree.
Yeah.
To women and girls, from men Do you know what I mean? Slut, slag, they're just revolting words. I actually feel really strongly about those words.
Oh, no, I love the word slag. No,
I hate them. I fucking hate them. And I feel very... I actually feel very passionately about
that. Oh, God, sorry.
No, so no, because I know this, I know the spirit in your saying it.
Because that's...
But it's like... my daughter's said it a couple of times, like, in a, again, in a jokey way, and I've said, can you not use that word? Just not use those words. They are, to me, it's like the same as sort of using something like queer to the way that people find that offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as, you know, queer, it's like using fag.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've lost my thread. But the point being is that I do think... that there was something needed in women. I mean, I think it's got completely lost in translation. About we'd been sort of viewed as these sort of objectified bodies for men to do as they please, and men have got all the like libido and the vitality, and women don't even enjoy it. Women aren't even like, you know, that it was like there's a denial of women's like. Sort of like vitality and sexuality and I don't know, like aliveness around their own sexuality. Like, you know, women are very sexual, do you know what I mean? But there was almost like a sort of...
Speak for yourself.
But there's like a sort of... It's like
Glenda critical, not feeling sexual.
Glenda critical is very menopausal. God,
Claire's feeling rather
and
like...
would rather have a nice cup of tea. Thanks very much. Sorry, Mr. Clitical.
Sorry, Claire's feeling very single and in need.
Come out the other side, raring to go.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in a hot sweat just thinking about. Anyway, yeah, no, like so. I think what women were trying to say is that it's kind of we're not these like passive fucking vessels for men. We have our own really vibrant, fascinating sexual thoughts and sex life and sexual sort of. We're sexual beings. Do you know what I mean? We just want to be fucking treated. With some actual fucking respect. It's almost felt like another hammer for men to use against you that, oh God, they don't even want sex.
So the slut and the slag and the stuff is just, isn't that just about men's attempt to control you?
Absolutely. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the message was coming across correctly because that language is just derogatory. It's like queers for Palestine, isn't it? It's like slags for feminism. It's not.
We need a slag.
Like,
oh God, guys, I'm totally. We need a slag flag. We need a slag flag. Someone design a slag flag.
What colours?
What colour would it be? I don't know, like a red. Red. We need the slag flag. Oh my God. But maybe
you keep
it was
repeating
like,
the fucking words now. Like,
oh, sorry.
Just some open legs.
Flag. Yeah.
Look a bit like Isle of Man-ish.
I love men.
And it's just two legs.
Oh my God. Oh, that's amazing. God. But maybe it was a bit like, oh, feminists aren't all got hairy armpits and paint men.
Yeah, possibly.
Some of us
possibly.
Are sexy little vile teenage. Yeah.
I think there's like something in there. There's something within that was attempting to be translated, but it's just done really bad. Or it's just not done it. Now, I don't know where the fuck we are. This isn't feminism now. This is my argument now. This is not feminism.
No, because
it's just gone like way too far, isn't it? Like, in my opinion. The whole OnlyFans and it's really empowering to have sex with 1,000 men in one day.
I don't, please don't.
Oh, do we have to talk? I'm really avoiding that whole discourse, but should we have a bash at it? If she can shag 1,000 men in one day, we can have this conversation.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Should we take this one in turns?
Sad speak.
Two minutes.
Okay, 30 seconds. 30 seconds each.
I just find it baffling that like there was actually a queue of 1,000 men queuing up to put their dick in a woman for 2 minutes in a fucking queue.
Okay, imagine you watch that. You catch that video on Twitter by mistake.
What is wrong with men?
And you see your
something seriously wrong with men.
You see your favourite uncle in the queue.
I know,
or your fella, yeah, or your actual fella.
Manager or something.
Yeah. I would literally commit fucking. I don't even know.
At the end of the, I think there's like discussions here around like women's autonomy and blah blah blah. But I genuinely, deeply, deeply feel for women that are doing that.
But do you? Do you? Yeah. Like my God, I'm having an opinion, guys.
Go.
Do you? Where do you curtail a woman's agency if she's telling you she wants to do it? Everyone around her is telling it's a good idea. She's earning fucking bank. Like, she could retire tomorrow and never have to work again, which is, like, the dream for, capitalist dream.
So the comment that Lady Logic said earlier, which was, I don't believe anyone can consent to having their genitals chopped off, even if you are an adult, because that it shows you that you're really not well, that you're insane. Yeah. I would argue exactly the same
point
this, because it's kind of, that is not a well person. There's no way. That is not a well person. Not only in, like, the damage she could potentially do to her body, do you know what I mean? But
they didn't get tested.
Oh, did they not? I thought she had them all tested. It was just like a roll up.
Yeah.
God.
But even just physical,
I couldn't watch that for trigonometry on, but even like the physical harm she's doing to herself, like to your body.
Do you think she actually really did it?
I think sadly she did, but it's kind of like you have got to, you know, the level, the your self-esteem must be practically non-existent, and you must be mentally very unwell to put your body through that, to degrade yourself like that. There's no physical enjoyment she's going to have in that.
That's the payoff. And the notoriety, the fame.
Well, that's we're just back to prostitution then, aren't we?
No one ever talks about her orgasm. Like, how many orgasms did she have during that?
I'm going to predict zero.
Zero. Did you watch that documentary where when they walked in the room once she'd finished and the cameraman starts gagging?
I'm not surprised. I mean, makes me feel really sick. And I think we need to be really careful. This is my thoughts.
Yeah,
cool. I think we need to be really careful about how we... I do call myself a feminist. I know we've had this discussion. Do you know what I mean? I definitely do feel I am a feminist. I feel like this weird feminism about trans women isn't feminism. That's just completely not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mistaken label.
Liberal feminism.
It's not feminism. You know, like I was listening to this podcast earlier, and it was like the very basics is that it's got to be focused on women. So if it focuses on men, it's not feminism. It's just really simple. But a woman that would do that is somebody that needs support and help.
What do you think, Lady Logic?
I think that. That, as I told you before, I identify as a TERF, and I also identify as a SWERF.
Oh my God!
So, just come straight out there.
Double bigotry.
It's like, just fascist through and through.
Yeah. Putting the big into bigotry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you see it as prostitution, what she's doing?
Yeah.
What? But how do
I don't see...
And how do you...
I'm like a Julie Bindle views on this. I just don't see any society where men pay women for sex in any way is a good thing.
No,
so absolutely. Can I just tell you the first time I went to a Women's Place UK meeting, I think it was about 2018, at the Labour Party conference, like the little offshoot. And it was the one, I spoke about it before on the podcast, where we didn't know where the meeting was, the venue, he couldn't tell us. It was the first time, like, I'd been to a turfy thingy. And we went and we were, you know, we're hearing all these different points of view. First time I'd met, like, proper turfs in real life, me and my mate. It was, like, it was amazing. And hearing from people that worked with, like, rape crisis centres and all these different women and how they'd all been affected by trans ideology, really moving. Helen Watts was there, who'd been kicked out of Girl Guiding. Shout out to Helen if you're listening. And then after, me and my mate went for dinner, and because it was the Labour Party conference, this guy walked into the restaurant, you know, like you can just imagine the beardy, the glasses, the male feminist, like just reeks of male feminism. And he had this tote bag that said,
I'm a feminist.
I'm a better feminist than you. And it said something like, sex work is work.
Yeah.
And you know, just that juxtaposition of like having to listen to all these really moving testimonies from actual women, and then seeing this little fucking prick. You might as well have just
worn a t-shirt saying like, "I hate women. I can't pull women, so I've got to pay for them."
Yeah, women are there for my disposal. Yeah. But anyway, getting back to what's the chops? What do we do? Like, you can't take away someone. It's like the same argument that we're having time and time again. How do you stop the guy going to Tesco in his fetish gear? How do you stop the pervert walking down the street? How do you stop
the men queuing for this?
We need to bring back shame.
Yeah.
But how do we practically go about that?
That's a big question.
Silence.
But I think that there's this generation of young women now that have all got OnlyFans accounts. I think at least a significant proportion of them will grow up to regret that, because like once something's on the internet, it's on the internet forever.
Yeah.
And you've just got to hope that there's like some sort of social reaction to that, like a backlash to that.
So that younger ones won't.
Yeah, and that it's like at the moment, I still think it's seen as like, oh yeah, I'm really, yeah, of course I'll do OnlyFans. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to hope that it's seen as like,
but I think there's a...
Sorry, I'm interrupting.
I don't know. No,
I was going to say, I think there's a bit...
I don't have the answers.
There's a bigger thing about educating young women and young girls to, A, have enough self-respect and self-confidence, and to understand how patriarchy works, and we're not going to bend to this. Yeah. And we're not going to do this for them. We're not going to do this for men.
As long as you've got people saying, oh, I make £4 million a year, and OnlyFans, there's always going to be people that want to do that, aren't there? But yeah, the average person on OnlyFans makes £100 a month.
Yeah.
So, like, you're, like, ruining your, like, future job prospects, relationship with your family, everything for, like, what, a couple hundred quid? Like,
yeah. But then I think, like, the time when Bonnie Blue and the other one, they were all over the Twitter feed. And it was like the same time as like Giselle Pellico.
Yeah.
And the Rotherham rape gangs were coming to
ironic.
There's a part of you that just goes, oh, I read the cranks on Twix talking about they're a psyop and they're there to show you that some women really like getting gang raped.
Oh,
and you know, when you think like, I don't know, I'm not conspiracy theory minded really, but sometimes you just think, oh, fucking hell.
Well, it's such a weird juxtaposition of the same thing, isn't it?
You know, but it's not a new thing. Like, I remember in the 90s, there was like the Annabelle Chong story.
None of this is new.
No, exactly. There was like the Annabelle Chang. Oh, God.
I don't know this.
Edit that bit
out. No, go on.
Annabelle Chong story. She was, it's been done time and time again. Like, there's these massive gangbangs.
Yeah.
Ayella, that fucking weirdo that's always on Twix talking about, like, she wants to shag as many men as possible, whatever. Like, it's not new. Like, well done. You've got a fanny. Like, fucking congratulations. Like, it's not a new thing. Let's see how many men can degrade me in at this period of time. Like,
no, it's not.
You're not breaking any fucking barriers. But then, there's the financial incentive.
There's a shock value as well. I think there's, you could go on forever about this because there's the whole thing of, like, the internet and the status that people get as influencers and, you know, the money.
Yes.
And, like, you know, we're in a digital age. It's a completely different age where to do some stunts like that, you're really going to kind of get...
You have to really go for it. But did you see there was a video of her at... She went to, like, a football match. I want to say Chelsea football match. And she was apparently sucking some guy off. One of them, so she was apparently doing like rude things with one of the men in the crowd of the football match, and they came to kick her out, and all of these men were just like, hey, fuck off, you dirty slag, like really verbally abusing her, and she was like, oh, fuck off, or so. And in a way I thought, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I thought that all of these, like, the portrayal of men is like, yeah, I'll have her, come and have a go with me. But they were
Men are also the same in that way, aren't they? Where they're like, Yeah, you know, do what you want to me and let me degrade you, but I'm not going out with a fucking slag.
Yeah.
It's classic men behaviour. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but you're a slag because you've slept with other people, that's not me. Yeah.
The body count discourse.
So in a way, that's very typical male response.
But any way you look at it, women are losing.
Because, yeah, totally.
And there's that whole thing as well of like how one woman will always represent all women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ayo, Margaret Thatcher. Like you're, as a I don't know, repressed minority, whatever you're going to say, you are always held for, responsible for the actions of all women or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fucked up. It's complex.
It's complex.
Yeah. It's complex. Yeah. Anyway, we are coming up to, we've been talking for ages.
Yeah. Go on. I don't know, where did we get to? We were sort of talking, go on. You were talking about your story.
So that conference, it was, but I've just met so many nice people there.
Yes.
And that was what was nice. And I think it gave me the confidence to be like, right, I'm going to, like, speak publicly about this. I'm going to be... But, so I joined my, like, local resistors group.
Okay.
And local women's rights network group. And then I...
Did you get... And that's where you got Mayor's...
Yeah, so on the train back from London, I had, my force data messaging me, kind of, well done.
Oh, my God. Like, wow. Name dropping left, right, and centre.
Exactly. It's like, oh, my God, that...
Amazing. Awesome. But that must have been really encouraging to know that you're not alone.
I knew, like, I felt proud of myself, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
and after that, I was like, I don't really, like, I've been to, like, loads of stuff in, like, Let Women Speak events and, like, Sex Matters events and stuff that, I like, when I spoke on Free Speech Nation.
Brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Just to, like, get my far-right status.
Fully... You got your sticker. Yeah.
Have you got your badge now?
Yeah.
So what about Life your... TV. Did you maintain contact with those other gender critical people?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, and do stuff with them.
Fantastic.
Philia, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. So what's the temperature like at work? Can you, like... Can you say these things openly? Or have you still got to be a bit circumspect?
I think things have massively changed. Just the general, like, society... Things that, like, a few years ago I was like, I just like, oh my God, I'm just not going to say that. Like, there's just people, like, making jokes about it. Like,
great.
I think we've come a long way.
Yeah, it's now at the point where people, and like, what I love, it's my favourite thing, is when someone makes like a turfy comment or a turfy joke and they don't even think they're being controversial.
Yeah.
They just said it. I'm like, yes.
Come on, common
sense.
Get in.
Like, someone just says something that, in my world, is like, and they just say it, and I'm like,
come on.
God, that was good.
So I feel like this reassertion of common sense, like, yes, we can laugh at these fucking ridiculous...
But that's the only... It literally was, wasn't it, the no debate?
Yeah.
It was like silence. No one was allowed to talk about it. And like, I just think that's gone. And like, that's the only thing they had. Because that whole thing is like lies built on like a pack of cards on the top of a sandhill.
Yeah.
And
with a wind blowing.
Like, yeah. And it's only, you know, once the no debate thing goes, it's like, it's just...
That's all they have. Yeah. I mean, you see that in Sandy Peggy. It's like, right, let's...
Which are Sandy Peggy.
Let's stand up and look at like why this woman was wrong to tell this guy that he wasn't allowed. Yeah. Like, once you see it...
I know.
And they, apparently they tried to have that in private, that hearing in private. And like the right side fought to have it public. Yeah. And it's just like, it's so fucking obvious.
Yeah.
So I'm so proud of you, Lady Logic.
Amazing.
That was a brilliant thing to do.
Yeah, but I think the only way this is, we're in the position we are now, like years on from that, is just lots of little things, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all, you know, sure, there are like, the massive events, there's like the Meyer Force Data Tribunal, and like, you know, the Posey Parker type people. Yeah, sure, they are like driving this, but it's all the normal people saying things, stepping up,
the conversation,
you know, like it really is like the courage calls to courage thing. It's just if everyone said what they really thought, we wouldn't be in this position.
No, exactly.
Absolutely,
and that's my view on it. Is like, we all just end the charade now. Just say what we really think. No, we don't think trans women are women because we know that they're fucking blokes.
Yes.
And that, you know, maybe we should just let kids grow up without telling
interfering.
Them the wrong bodies sex are wrong. And,
yeah. And well, that's why we want to do this. It's just fixing. we were talking about this earlier, how something as simple as, oh yeah, just let some men have an F on their passport, how that little decision has created these waves, these ripples that have affected so many institutions, bodies, organisations, charities,
individuals' lives.
Individuals. And like everyone, I say this all the time, but every TERF you talk to has got, that's why we started this podcast, because we want to talk to everyone and hear how it's affected. Like, you might not be a Maya Forstetter or a Sandy Peggy, but everyone's had this affect their lives in some way. And it's the weirdest thing that most of us have ever lived through. Yeah, like, what is comparable to this? There it's absolutely fucking insane. And I really cling to the hope that in 20 years, I'll be telling my kid about this and being like, no, seriously. They used to try and tell us that, men were women and we couldn't even talk about it. Like, it will be so fantastic.
Yeah.
It'll be like my mum telling me about, rationing or, something
so extreme. The blitz.
Yeah. Like, whoa.
So ridiculous that you just can't relate to it.
You can't even believe it. Like, no, there's no fucking way. And then, but now, obviously, we've got all these digital receipts and we can show them videos, like the video I show everyone that I have saved on my phone of the BBC... This woman, a real woman, on the BBC talking about how actually the breast milk from trans women is better for babies than the breast milk from natal women. And that was on the state-sponsored broadcast. How do we ever come back from that? Like, how has every trust in every single institution is completely obliterated after that?
But this comes back to the question of our question what that we segue. Have to have. What a brilliant segue. She segued so well. How do you think we're going to end this shit show? How do you think it's going to end? When do you think it's going to end?
So what I would like is every single person who's peddled this shit to stand up publicly and apologise for their sin.
Oh my God, imagine.
But in reality, I will just accept these people just deleting some old tweets and pretending that they never meant any of this.
Pronouns out the bio.
Just slowly drop the pronouns. Slowly drop a few flags to start being like, oh yeah, no God.
Who are your big hitters? Yeah, I'm just thinking, Owen Jones is coming straight to mind. He will go down with the shit. But just a couple of people that would be like, do you know what? We have seen a few, haven't we? I was wrong. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think...
Very few and far between.
I think, it's just people that will just slowly drop it as a subject.
And forget.
And slowly stop defending the indefensible. And you've noticed it now that there's the general vibe of people that used to be like, trans women are women, no debate, and now slowly into, it's a complicated area, it's quite nuanced.
Or they're all like, the next thing.
Yeah, what's
Palestine,
the next thing?
Or it's all just been dropped for the next
forever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I support the current thing. So,
Omnicause.
But then you just got to hope that the next thing isn't even worse, like transhumanism and like going down some really fucking wild route,
Okay, so on that note,
it's going to be better. It's going to be better.
So the robots take over.
Yes.
And the AI.
I love AI.
We're doomed.
Yeah. I just want to get on the record that I'm a big fan of AI.
I'm really scared of AI.
Don't let them know.
Okay.
They're listening.
Sure.
So we are on an hour, so I think we've got to wrap it up there.
Mm-hmm.
So Lady Logic, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute hoot. And we'll have you back sometime on our, what did we say, 100th episode?
When we've got 15,000.
And I could be like, oh my God, I was one of the original
ones. The ones in on the ground floor. Yeah. But thank you. And we will see you next time on Let Women Peek. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. Lovely.
It was absolutely fabulous.
So funny.
We love Lady Logic.
We love Lady Logic. She's a lady. She's logical. It's all there. It's magical. Download, subscribe, hit the subscribe button, lick the like button.
Lick the like button.
Caress the subscribe button.
go to our Substack, because it's fucking hopping over there. Yeah. Give us some money. What else can they do?
Oh, definitely.
Subscribe.
Give us some money.
Share.
Because we've had to pay for Zoom.
We've had to pay for lots of things. It's not cheap, you know, this podcast thing. So we hope you enjoyed it. Now, the most important thing, if you have your own tale of turf-tastic catastrophe, we want to interview you on the podcast. So come on. And yes, you are articulate enough. Yes, you are. Your story is interesting enough.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting. We want every turf in the world on this podcast.
Stop being modest.
Stop being modest. Do you know what? Stop being self-effacing. It's boring. Nobody cares. No. We don't care that you're self-effacing. We want your story. We want the hot, pumping, pulsating lifeblood of your heart. Spurting stories
onto our podcast,
onto our open gaping podcast.
Yes.
We love you all, and let's join us next week for another hot slice of
Let Women Be.